BBC Radio Lancashire News at 7:03.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's just after 7 o'clock on Wednesday the 20th of November, and tonight we're watching the skies. We're in Blackpool with the fellows from the Blackpool District Astronomical Society, and tonight something a little bit interactive for you. You'll be able to join in with tonight's programme and see what we can see. I'll tell you more after our first song. I'm Gary Scott and this is Your Lancashire. Starman, David Bowie on BBC Radio Lancashire, where it's Wednesday night and it's Your Lancashire. And we started with that song. We thought it would be appropriate because tonight the programme comes to you live from Blackpool, specifically Blackpool Cricket Club, and the room upstairs where a like-minded bunch of individuals regularly meet to basically say, good heavens, and have a look up, because I'm with the members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And tonight, we're going to find out a little bit about the science of astronomy, how you can get into it as a hobby, what kind of things you can see. And we're going to find out about the some of the members, their stories, and how they got into it. Also, a little later on, we're going to take a look at some of the wonderful photos that members have taken using telescopes and, you know, not the Hubble Space Telescope, but simpler telescopes that are available for me and you to go out if we want to, and anybody can do this kind of thing. And I said we're going to look at them. We're going to look at them, although it's radio, we're going to do it a little bit like television. Ray Smith, the chair of the society, explain how we're going to do this.
Right, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Blackpool Cricket Club, the home of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. As you've just been hearing, we've got something a little bit special for you this evening. What we thought we'd do, weather permitting, is to get a couple of telescopes and set up outside and have a little look through and see what we can see. Unfortunately, the weather has done what the weather often does, and it's taken its bat home and it doesn't want to play with us. So, being good people that we are, we've come up with a plan B. And I think the plan B is probably going to turn out to be better than the plan A at the end of the night, because what we've done over the weekend, some of my colleagues here who are quietly sitting in the same room with us have been beavering away over the weekend and have uploaded onto our website, the URL of which you will be given fairly shortly, has copied some images up on there that have been taken by members of our society over the past few weeks, months, and on occasion the odd year or so ago, so that you can go onto the website, have a look at the images, and the people who took the images will talk you through what the images actually are, how they were taken, where they were taken, and give you a little bit of feedback from it. Now, I have to say, these images are astounding quality. They are really, really worth looking at. So if you want to have a look at these, get yourself into a position where you can access the internet while you're looking, while you're listening to the show, and then we can go through these together, and you can appreciate how good some of these images actually are.
It's a bit like television. We're going to have sound and pictures. It's going to be great. No, seriously, we'll give you the website address in a bit. That's another David Bowie track, isn't it, to be fair? We're going to give you the website address in a little while, and after 8 o'clock, you'll be able to join us as we literally go through the cosmos. And I've seen one or two of the images. I'm looking at one now, and trust me, on the gentleman's ear, who actually will talk to you after about how you took that image, sir, but... trust me, it's going to be spectacular. So grab your laptop or your tablet or even your mobile phone if it's got a nice big screen. Keep the radio on and we'll tell you how you can do that shortly. So, Ray, how long have you been a member of the society and how long has the society been running?
Oh, that's a serious question. Boy, it isn't like air to remember. In fact, I'm one of the founding members. The society, as I mentioned to you a little while ago, started over 30 years ago. In Blackpool, and we've been running continuously ever since, although we've only been meeting here for the last just over a year or so ago. But the society itself is over 30 years old, and the membership tends to fluctuate as these things do. It waxes and wanes like the faces of the moon, funnily enough. We've been down to as low as like 7 or 8 people. We've been up to the mid-30s at the moment. We've got 20 paid-up members who meet here at the Cricket Club on the second Monday of every calendar month. The dates and times and so forth can be seen on our website when you have a look at those. And we always have a guest speaker who can be anything from a professional astronomer from one of the local universities. It can be a member of another astronomical society who is a particular talent for a particular type of imaging or something. Or it can even be one of our own members giving us a talk on their particular pet subject. So there's always something on every month.
So there's always a guest speaker, always good reasons to come along. I want to talk about the fact that it's a perennial hobby. And I want to talk about how you got started in the hobby. We'll do that after this one. This on BBC Radio Lancashire is Alanis Morissette and Hand in My Pocket. Grab a pencil and paper. That website address so you can play along is coming up.
I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy. Is it every man's gotta be fine, fine, fine? I'm sad, but I'm laughing. I'm brave, but I'm chicken. I'm sick, but I'm pretty.
Lancashire Sings Christmas.
There's not long to go now before this year's Lancashire Sings Christmas.
This is a florist by day, but now it's full of carol singers here to sing with gusto.
People gathering together where they live to sing carols provided by the Salvation Army.
It is such a pleasure to be part of the biggest carol service across Lancashire.
If you go to lancashiresingschristmas.co.uk, you can download your order of carols. You can find a group near you who are taking part, or perhaps you'd like to register a new gathering.
Lancashire Sings Christmas.
And don't forget to join us live on BBC Radio Lancashire Thursday the 19th of December at 7 o'clock for this year's Lancashire Sings Christmas.
With BBC Radio Lancashire. Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is. It's Your Lancashire live from Blackpool Cricket Club, where we're with members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And I've been interested in the skies above us in a small way since I was knee-high to something very small indeed. And my interest was such that my mum and dad used to let me stay up and watch the sky at night because it was educational. They'd let me stay up on those nights and watch the legendary Sir Patrick Moore, who probably did more to popularise astronomy and to get it into the mainstream and get it into public consciousness than anyone else. I'm with Ray Smith, the chair of the group. Is that a fair assessment, Ray?
I think you're absolutely right, yeah. I think there can't be any doubt that he did more to popularise astronomy than certainly anybody I can think of, in this country at least.
So how did you get involved? How did you get into astronomy? How old were you when you first picked up a telescope and looked up at the sky and thought, ooh?
Well, for those people of a certain age, I was actually born in 1960, so for those of a certain age like me, can probably remember the days of the Apollo missions and the space program, the Russians, etc. That was just peaking when I was about 8 or 9. I can remember when I was 8 years old, Christmas 1968, when Apollo 8 went round the moon, Borman, Lovell and Anders. And then, of course, the following year, Apollo 11 landed on the moon with Neil Armstrong. And I can remember that. And it was everywhere. Obviously, the internet didn't exist at the time. But it was on the TV, it was in the newspapers, it was absolutely, you couldn't get away from it. It was everywhere. And of course, being a lad of that certain age, this is it. You know, this is it. Not only that, of course, but Star Trek was on as well.
Well, there is that as well with the aliens and things, yeah.
So literally, ever since I was knee-high to a Klingon, I've been interested in astronomy. Plus, of course, Patrick Moore was broadcasting at the time as well. So as you mentioned a few minutes ago, the sky at night, not to be missed on a monthly basis. Super smashing great. Yeah. What more does a chap need?
Yeah. As a young boy then, looking up at the moon at around the time of the moon landings and thinking either, you know, there are men on there or men have walked on that. You know, as a youngster, that must have blown your mind.
Oh, it was incredible, yeah. I mean, when you're that sort of age, the sort of technicalities of it, you know, they just don't exist. They just, you know, wash over your head. But knowing how far away the moon actually is, well, 250,000 miles in old money, or 384,000 kilometres if we're being sort of metricated, it's quite a long way, you know. It's not like having to walk down to the shops and coming back, or, you know, flying from here to Barbados and back, you know. It's literally another world. It's out of this world, quite literally. And to realise that people have actually been there, and the speeds that they travel at to get there, I mean, you might think you're going at a fair lick when you're doing 100 miles an hour, you know, on the M55. Not that you should do 100 miles an hour on the M55. Anyway, you might think you're going at a fair lick at, like that. But when you think to get to the moon, they were going at like 24,000 miles an hour between the Earth and the moon. And yet you look at them on the television broadcasts and you think they're not moving. They're just floating around as though, you know, they're in limbo. And they're travelling at 24,000 miles an hour.
And in what was a fairly rudimentary craft, a very simple, by today's terms, tin box, and I think I'm right in saying the computer power in the module that landed on the moon, there's actually more computing power in a digital watch these days.
Well, I don't know about a digital watch, but you're probably quite right in orders of magnitude. Yeah, that's right. And the computers that were on board the spacecraft, the AGC, the Apollo Guidance computers, and the Lunar Module computers, the memory these days, you've got solid-state memory chips, all this sort of thing that people are familiar with to a certain extent. In those machines, they were literally hardwired, metal cores with wire that ran them. They weren't integrated circuits. They weren't transistors. This was like, you know, Blue Peter almost technology. You know, they were going to the moon with, you know, sticky back plastic and toilet. All, you know, it's absolutely incredible.
And yet they got there. We did that. We landed on the moon and. Although we did land on the moon, didn't we? There are some people who would suggest that it were all a big conspiracy done on a soundstage and that we never actually made it to the moon. In a couple of words, what would your answer to that kind of conspiracy theory be?
Well, firstly, the technology to fake it didn't exist at the time. If they had faked it with the technology that they'd got at that time, it would long since have been discovered with the technology we now have. Yeah. Secondly, if it had been faked, who was going to shout it? The Russians. Yeah. So we're competing with them. Plus, of course, you've got all the moon rock that they physically brought back with them. Now, in order to bring samples of the moon back to Earth, somebody's got to go there and pick them up.
So. Oh, you and your evidence. I prefer to believe in the conspiracy theory. There we go. You and your science and your evidence-based things. Well, Ray, listen, we're going to be showing some incredible images after 8 o'clock, and you can join in at home. Make sure you've got your laptop or your phone or your tablet, and you will need to go to the Society's website, which is blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Cracking website. Have a look around it anyway, and you get to meet some of the team, you get to meet some of the lads and the members, and there's lots of information on there. But along the top, you'll see gallery, and that's the link that you'll need for later. Don't worry, we'll give you all this information again coming up until 8 o'clock, because after 8, we'll be looking deep into the cosmos. blackpoolastronomy.org.uk, and the link you want specifically will be gallery. More from Blackpool Cricket Club after this one, and this is quite appropriate given that Dr. Brian May, a great friend of Sir Patrick Moore's, and I believe who bought Sir Patrick's house when he passed away and turned it into a museum, is a member of this lot, Queen, Crazy Little Thing Called Love. It's Wednesday night, it's your Lancashire.
Take a long ride on my boat.
crazy little thing called Love Queen on BBC Radio Lancashire. Well, it's your Lancashire, it's Wednesday night, and it's Gary with you through till 10 o'clock. We're live at Blackpool Cricket Club, and we're with, and we're looking at the work of, and the people who make up the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. But also we've invited one or two other people throughout the evening to drop in. Because when we're local, we like to look at things that are going on. And this weekend at the Norbert Castle Hotel, there's a craft fair. Basically, everybody loves a craft fair, don't they? The thing is, I looked at this craft fair and I started looking at one or two of the people exhibiting. And I discovered a little cottage industry, a mother and daughter, who are a taxi driver and a student mental health nurse. And I thought, a lady taxi driver, I've never met one of those. So I rang Kath McLemmon up and said, hello, Kath, is it true you're a taxi driver? And I was astonished, wasn't I, Kath?
You were, yes.
I've never met a female taxi, and this says more about me than anybody else, but I've never met a female taxi driver in my life. But I'm told that in Blackpool there are a fair number.
There is, and also in the Fylde Coast. Yeah.
So how long have you been a taxi driver?
A long, long time. Started 36 years ago.
So a fair while then, and yeah. Is it, and this is going to sound really sexist, this, but I'm thinking like daytime, maybe fine. Nighttime, people taking a drink and people get a bit loud and things like that, and you worry about safety. I wouldn't like to pick me up when I've had a drink, is I guess what I'm saying. And do you not find it a bit scary or a bit hairy?
No, not at all. You've talked to people how you'd be expect to be treated, and they're good with you.
That sounds like a really simple way to, good way to live your life, really. Let's bring in Sammy. Let's bring in your daughter, because Sammy, we'll talk about the crafting in a minute. But you're training to be a mental health nurse.
Yeah.
Why specifically that career? What's attracted you to what is obviously a rewarding job, but I'd imagine a difficult thing to do.
Well, the thing that got me into caring was my caring for my gran, and my family told me that I had a patience of a saint. Oh. So I ended up getting a job in a nursing home when I left college. So, and it was caring for dementia patients, and I loved it. So I thought I wanted to better myself and go into nursing. So,
what a brilliant thing! Now you say they're caring for dementia patients, and I would have thought that can have its challenges. That can be a really tricky thing, because having known some people with dementia, and in fact my daughter and my future son-in-law, fingers crossed if he behaves himself, both work in a care home, and I know that it is really tough, but you really enjoyed it. What would it be about that kind of work that you'd enjoy?
The fact that, okay, you do have your bad days, but there's always something rewarding out of it. There's, even if it's just a little smile out of a patient, it's just so rewarding for me.
So you thought you'd build on that and go into nursing, and mental health nursing specifically?
Yeah. I find mental health, it's just a massive, like, group of like different people, and the fact that everybody's different, you can just care for somebody and adapt to that one person, but as soon as you move on to the next patient, it's completely different. Every day is different, and that's why I love it.
Well, that's it, because as you said, such a variety of people that you're helping look after. So where are you in your studies? How long have you been studying? How long have you got to go?
I'm in end of second year, and I've got another year to go.
And what's the dream job? What's the ultimate aim?
I'll be happy if I just become a mental health nurse.
That's a fine thing to know. And get paid. That's a puzzle. Very sensible mother. Proud mother here, Kath. You've got to be proud of her. She's got quite a head on her shoulders.
Very much so.
Yeah. And looking after Gran originally, and having the patience of a saint. And in return, Gran taught you a thing or two about crafting.
Yeah, it was my other Gran that got me into crafting. Right. She literally has been crafting for a good number of years, and as a kid I grew up around that, and she said, why don't you give it a try? And then I did, and got into crafting.
Well, we're going to talk about the crafting, and we're going to talk about the events this weekend, and the kind of thing. You've shown me some pictures, Kath, and I'm blown away by the kind of things that you make, because I was thinking just greetings cards, but You make all sorts of things. We'll find out exactly what you make and how people can see them after this one on BBC Radio Lancashire. This is the new one from George Michael, would you believe? It is This Is How on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Looking for a different space. I was leaning on the grass, dreaming of a sunnier day. Never came. How could it ever be? Well, the present meets the past. It's hard to be more than we've seen. Your daddy was a drinker, just kept drinking till the jokes he was thinking sounded true. Your mama was a thinker, she just wasn't thinking of the day that you looked at him and said, I do. Cause I will always try to get my life together. I guess we always knew that it would be stormy weather. Smoking till the jokes he could tell got very blue. My mama was a joker. Yes, she was a hippie, and I guess she was tripping on the high loving you. Cause I will always try to get my life together. I guess we always knew that it would be stormy weather. I saw the children as a thing to blame. I'm here to drop the pill and a drink. I know how low it can sink. My heart is better than I'm there to fight in my life. Or raise a hand to my wife. I saw the children as a thing to blame. I'm here to drop the pill and a drink. I know how low it can sink. My heart is better than.
For a different space, dreaming of a sunnier day, oh, that never came. How could it ever be? Well, the present is the past. It's hard to be more than we've seen.
You're Lancashire
with Gary Scott
on BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's your Lancashire Live from Blackpool Cricket Club, looking at the heavens and also looking at gorgeous handmade cards and crafting items, because this weekend, this Saturday, at the Norbert Castle Hotel, there's a craft fair, and among the stands, the people exhibiting at the craft fair are Kath and Sammy McClemmon, mother and daughter, taxi driver and mental health nurse in training. And Sammy, we were talking before we heard from George Michael about learning to make things. And do you remember the first things you made with your gran?
Well, I made a few cards with mainly decoupage cards, and then just kind of went from there.
Now I can show off. Now, decoupage is where you get lots of the same picture and you build up the picture. My wife does that kind of thing as well. So you came home with these cards, and how did Mum get involved?
Well, she started helping me cut things out, the pictures, and started sticking them up and building them for me. And then I would stick it to the card. And then my mum just ended up saying, oh, I'll make a card, and started from there.
Fair enough. I mean, Kath, after a hard night behind the wheel, I suppose it's kind of everyone needs a hobby.
This is very true. Not that I do it when I finish work, though.
Well, no, I'm going to say you'd probably be a little bit tired after ferrying people like me about. So you now work together. You've got the little business going, and you're showing at the Nordbrett. But it's gone beyond cards, hasn't it? You don't just make cards.
Oh, no. My daughter makes wooden baubles with...
Wood burning. I make wood burning in baubles with little pictures and names on them.
So this is where you get the button. You've got like a I think I've seen like a long, like a metal pen, and it's heated up, and you pyrography, I think they call it. Is that the word? Can't do well tonight, I'll tell you. So, and that's the baubles. Tell us about the book folding, though.
Well, we take an old paperback book, and depending on how you fold it, we can make different items from it, from candles to Christmas trees to snowman, hedgehogs, Santas.
Very useful this time of year. I mean, I'm just thinking Christmas is coming down the tracks at us, and if you wanted a handmade present, it sounds like the Nordbrett is the place to go. And this is just, I mean, you don't have any great desire to be a millionaire off it. It's just a nice hobby. And something, I think, that would de-stress the pair of you, because you will obviously have your hard work, your long hours on the road, and Sammy, you're learning to be a mental health nurse, which is a tricky thing. Does it really relax you?
It's very mind-numbing. It takes your head completely away from all the stresses in your life, so you're literally just doing what you enjoy doing.
Yeah, after all the stresses of the day, it's just a little bit of time for you that you can do. Because my wife makes cards, and when she's making a card, there's no talking to her. She's just in this world of her own, this void of her own. And again, Kat, just something you and Sammy can do together that brings you a bit closer together.
It is. It's nice having some mother and daughter bonding time.
Brilliant. Well, I wish you both the best of luck with the fair. It's the Nordbrett Castle Hotel. It's this Saturday, 11 till 4. And where will you be? What's your stall called? Then people can come and look for you.
Kath McClemens Handmade Cards.
You know, that's fair enough. That's imaginative, isn't it? Kath McClemens does what it says on the tin. Well, get yourself down to that, and will you both be there?
Yeah.
There you go. Get yourself down to the Nordbrett. Have a look for Kath and Sammy. Thank you, ladies, for joining us on Your Lancashire tonight. And good luck with the fair. And we might speak your pass might cross again in future when you're a multi-millionaire. That's a book folding.
Thank you very much. I shall remember you if it works from that.
Free taxis, I think she just said. Whenever I'm in Blackpool, free taxis. I like that. That'll be kind of useful. This one on BBC Radio Lancashire. We're going back a bit for this one. This is Take That and A Million Love Songs. It's Your Lancashire. It's Wednesday evening.
pass me by. A million chances to hold you. Take me back, take me back to where I used to be. Hide away from all my truths through the light I see. A million love songs are made up. And here I am trying to tell you that I care. A million love songs are made up. Here I am just for you.
A million love songs on BBC Radio Lancashire, where I'm in the company of members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. Coming up after 8 o'clock, something interactive. You can get involved with this. The lads have kindly put together on their website a series of images taken by members using telescopes that you know, anybody can use, not the great big Hubble telescope or anything like that, but some incredible images. And after 8 o'clock, we're going to have a bit of a slideshow. The guys are going to show me the images and we're going to talk through them. And at the same time, if you go to blackpoolastronomy.org.uk and click on the gallery tab at the top, so that's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk and click on the gallery tab, you'll be able to see and listen to the description. So grab your tablet, your phone, your laptop, whatever it might be. I'll give you the details again before 8 o'clock, so get yourself a pen and paper, but that's the website. You'll also find out about the history of the organisation and everything that goes on and how you can get involved if you're interested in the heavens above, whether you know a little bit, whether you've just got a curious interest. These lads will look after you very much. People like Terry Devon, the secretary, who, quite appropriate that you look at the stars, Terry, because you've hobnobbed with the stars here on Earth, haven't you, in the past. You're a bit of an entertainer.
I am. Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's it, you are. You are, son, yeah.
Yes. I'd say there used to be a part of a double act called Laura and Terry Devon, and we did Opportunity Knocks in 1975.
Yeah, I want to talk about it. We'll talk about the astronomy in a bit, because I want to talk about how you got involved in it. But you mentioned 1975 Opportunity Knocks, and right away that brings us to Huey Green. Who some people said was a lovely man, and some people, because I know people who've auditioned and some people who had a more colourful opinion of him. How was he with you?
Personally, it was all right with me, personally. Right. But I remember there was a guy who was, as you can remember, Huey Green came on with a hand mic. It was usually a long black thing in his hand, and he'd wave it about and say, "Thank you, friends. We really want to see them," and all this. On this occasion, they had a guy, little fella, I felt sorry for him, little fella who was using a boom mic, the one that hangs above, and he didn't trust him. Huey Green really gave him a telling off. And this poor lad, this poor guy, he must have been middle-aged, he was in tears.
Wow.
He was in tears, he was. And we're all going... I can't tell you what we said on radio.
No, I can imagine. Thank you for saving my career. Yeah, because he was a hard taskmaster. I know people who've worked with him who said that he wanted it to be right and he wanted things to be bob on, and that clearly is what you found.
Yeah, we did find that. But I thought it was nice to be nice, which made people nervous, really, you know, and... We did all right. We came third.
Well, that's not so bad. And presumably you've been through the audition process as well. So tell us about that, because today you'd have to go and stand in front of Simon Cowell or one of those numpties and do all that. What was it like back then?
Well, it was they usually auditioned in a hall or a theatre sort of thing. And I can't remember too much about the audition, really. Huey Green was not auditioning us on that occasion. Okay. It was one of the producers, right. And she seemed to like us.
And so you ended up on the box?
Yeah, so we ended up on the box.
Now, you must have enjoyed it, because if we go forward 15 years, you did it again, but this time it wasn't you, it was Les Dawson, I believe.
Yeah, Les Dawson was the compere on that occasion. And,
How did you find Les?
Very funny. Yeah. He was a warm-up man as well. He stood in front of the audience. He says, two flies up your nose, who's coming down the quickest? One on the bogey. which sort of really broke the ice with the audience, he said.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. He's naturally funny, he had funny bones, didn't he? And I guess, why employ a warm-up man when you've got the best in the business there?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. The trouble is, they say to you, you know, you can do 5 minutes. All right, so me and the wife went down to London to record the show, and for word, we did 5 minutes on my act. Then when we got there, he said, it's 3 minutes. And you can't tell an Irish joke at 6:30 on the radio on a Saturday night. Yeah. On the TV on a Saturday night, sorry. And so we had to alter all the... So I was stuttering a bit, you know. And
was it live as well?
It was... yes, I believe it was at that time. Yes, it was live. I think it was 6:30 or 7:30 on a Saturday.
Yeah, I remember what I remember watching it. We used to watch Opportunity Notes in our house, definitely. And sort of quite an experience.
Very experienced, yeah. There was another comedian on from, I can't remember, Nipper Thomas, he was only a little fella, from Birmingham. And if you're listening, hello Nipper, you're all right? Yeah, so, I think he lives in Birmingham anyway. Uh-huh. And there was, but nobody, as far as I know, did anything, nobody got on. You know,
no major stories kind of created.
No, not on that one. It was coming to an end with the series anyway, you know. Because when it was discovered that it can't be trusted to rely on audience votes and saying it was rigged and all that, so it sort of fizzled out then.
Yeah, there was always a question. So I used to wonder about that clap up into myself, but there you go. That's another story for another day. Well, I'll hold you there, because we'll have it. We want to talk about the astronomy as well. That's what we're here for. We'll talk about that after this one from Keen. This one on BBC Radio Lancashire is The Way I Feel.
They said you were a bright child, never anything but joy behind your eyes. No sign of all the dark clouds spreading like volcanic dust over your blue skies. Now they're looking for an answer where the rot set in and set up the landslide, but it only makes it worse now. You're like a puzzle to be worked. Twist.
not what you expected. The way your head gets twisted, and it's the voices in your head now.
On BBC Four.
Country music comes from right in here. This heart and soul that we all have.
Jolene, Jolene, Jolene.
The story of one of the world's most popular music genres.
Please don't take him just because you can. That is so heart-wrenching.
Told by the stars who shaped it, including Garth Brooks, Loretta Lynn, Charlie Pride, and Dolly Parton.
You can dance to it, you can cry to it. It has something in it for everybody.
I walk the line.
Country Music by Ken Burns, a definitive new series, starts on Friday night at 9:30 on BBC Four.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's your Lancashire from Blackpool Cricket Club with members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And I'm with the Secretary, Terry Devon. We've talked about his showbiz days, opportunity knocks and stories of that sort. But when did you start looking at the stars, the real stars above us, Terry?
It was about 19 frozen to death, very long time ago. I remember my first telescope was bought from a firm called Charles Frank. In Scotland, and it was a big cardboard tube with a lens at one end, and another tube that slid in and out at the other end, and it magnified about 30 times, and I was gobsmacked because I could see Jupiter with all its moons jotted on one side, so that really got me, and good views of the craters of the moon as well.
This is the fascinating thing, isn't it? Because if you've got reasonable eyesight and you step outside with the naked eye, you can see things. But with a small telescope or a pair of binoculars, that really opens up the world to you, doesn't it?
Yes, certainly does. You can do a lot of you can do a lot of naked eye observing by meteor showers and things like that. Because if you check a telescope with you, you look through the eyepiece, you'll miss all the meteors that they're falling down. I've done that loads of times.
Well, I suppose so, because you don't know where they're going to be, I suppose, do you?
That's it. You need to... I must tell you about this. Well, we went to the 1999 solar eclipse, yeah. And we went to France. It was clouded out over here as well, yeah. So we were clouded out. In fact, it was raining at the time of the eclipse. But there was a guy that was staying with us, and he was underneath the break in the cloud, and he videoed all the eclipse, and wow. we all got back that night, and he had the pleasure. We called him Gloat because he had the pleasure of showing us. Look at what I've got, so we're all, yeah.
I remember the BBC coverage of it as well. I think Patrick Patrick Moore again. And they went to an RAF Hercules, I think, that was above the clouds, yeah, and that's because it was a washout from down here.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So that particular night was a meteor shower, and it was a good meteor shower that night. Right. It cleared up. So there was no clouds, and this guy, same guy, was laid on a bed, looking up there, mm-hmm. And I was going, oh, fantastic, man. And suddenly he's going, I said, don't wake him.
Oh, cruel. Just because he got to see the solar eclipse, yes, you bunch of meanies. Well, listen, Terry, we'll catch up with you some more between now and 10 o'clock. Grab your pen and paper. The website you'll need for in a few minutes' time is blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And the tab you want at the top of there is the gallery, because after eight, we're going to blow your mind. We're going to show you some fantastic images. Grab your tablet, grab your laptop, grab your phone and play along. blackpoolastronomy.org.uk, and it's the gallery tab. Taking us to the news at 8 o'clock is this one. It's a song from The Wanted, and it's All Time Low on BBC Radio Lancashire.
My head. Hide it, won't hide it. Smile, you won't hide it. Like I ain't tried it. Everyone's tried it now. And fail somehow. So when you gonna let me? When you gonna let me out? Out. And if you know, how do you get up from an all time low? Pieces, it seems like pieces. The only thing I never know. How do you get out, get out? 'Cause driving. How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? And if you know, how do you get up from an all-time low? I'm in pieces, it seems like pieces. The only thing I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? I can't even find a place to start. How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I never know. How do you get up from an all-time low? I can't even find a place to start. How do I choose between my head and heart? Till it ceases, I'll never know. How do you get up from an all-time low?
From the Ribble Estuary to Morecambe Bay.
Pennine Hills to the Irish Sea.
Good friends.
Good company.
And great music.
This is BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC News at 8, I'm Moira Alderson. Prince Andrew's announced he's stepping back from public duties for the foreseeable future. It comes after he spoke about his friendship with the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein in a BBC interview that has since been described as a car crash. In a statement, the Duke says the issue has become a major disruption to his family's work and to the charities he supports. Royal commentator Penny Juner says she's not surprised by the decision.
The reaction was just so condemnatory. And he came across so badly, not once expressing regret for those or sympathy for the victims of Epstein's behaviour. And not distancing himself from Epstein when he was given the chance, but actually saying that he had found the relationship quite beneficial to him.
The Lib Dems have launched their election manifesto with a pledge to recruit an extra 20,000 teachers. The party says its key policy of reversing Brexit would also make billions of pounds available for public spending. Paul Johnson from the Institute for Fiscal Studies has been looking at that claim.
They've got some significant tax rises in there, so a penny on all the main rates of income tax, an increase in capital gains tax, an increase in corporation tax, an increase in air passenger duty. So those come to well over 30 billion. They're also assuming that you'd lose a lot of uncertainty, the economy would be a bit bigger in that world. 5 years in, maybe the tax revenues would be 14 billion or so more. So actually, that's less than half.
Meanwhile, Boris Johnson says a Tory government would lower taxes for working people by raising the threshold for paying national insurance to £12,500. A teenage neo-Nazi who wrote about an inevitable race war in his diary has been convicted of preparing terrorist acts. Manchester Crown Court heard the 16-year-old from Durham had identified a series of possible targets, including schools, buses and pubs. The president of the world's biggest long-haul airline, Emirates, has praised the environmentalist Greta Thunberg and the group Extinction Rebellion for forcing airlines to focus on climate change. Sir Tim Clark says that while he doesn't condone some of their methods, they do have a role to play. Jose Mourinho has taken his first training session as Tottenham's manager after Maurizio Pochettino was sacked yesterday. Mourinho won the Premier League three times with Chelsea but was dropped by Man United last year. He's under contract at Spurs until 2023, but fans have given his arrival a mixed reaction.
Good choice. Time for a difference to make it the team a lot better, yeah.
Hopefully Mourinho can come in and do something, stabilise the club at least.
I don't think he's going to do a great job considering what he's done at Man United.
He's a dated manager. You know, the way he plays his football, it's on the time gone past. The way he plays his football, I don't think it's the Tottenham way. So I'm gutted.
Lewis Capaldi and Bring Me the Horizon are among the British artists nominated for awards at next year's Grammys. Taylor Swift has three. BBC News, it's 3 minutes past eight.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's just after 8 o'clock on Wednesday the 20th of November and BBC Radio Lancashire is still at Stanley Park in Blackpool looking at the heavens above. Don't forget, grab your laptop or your phone or your tablet, you'll need it. I'm Gary Scott and this is Your Lancashire.
Tell me lies.
Little Lies, Fleetwood Mac on BBC Radio Lancashire, where it's your Lancashire, it's Wednesday night, and it's Gary with you through till 10 o'clock. And we're out and about. We're at Blackpool Cricket Club, and we're spending time with members of Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, looking at the skies above. Well, this is the thing. We were going to be looking at the skies above, and the lads very kindly said that if the weather permits, we'll put a couple of scopes up, and we'll see what we can see. Unfortunately, the weather conspired against us, and it's fairly cloudy, and there's not a great deal. I mean, I'm no astronomer, but there's nothing up there to be looking at. But the lads cleverly came up with Plan B, and this is where you come in. And in many ways, this is better because you can join in. What you need is your laptop or computer or tablet or your mobile phone, whatever, and you need to go to blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. That's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And along the top, there's lots of information on that website. Do have a look around, you know, when you've got time. But along the top there, you'll find gallery. And the gallery is what we'll be looking at in a few minutes' time. So that's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And click on gallery and get ready to see something incredible. We're in the company of one of the committee members, Pete Franklin. And how long have you been a member here, Pete?
I've been a member since around 2002.
Now, I mentioned earlier on that it can be a fairly cheap hobby if you're curious, because all you need is a simple pair of binoculars. I mean, 30 quid's worth of binoculars, you'll be able to see all sorts. But some people take it a little bit further, like you. Tell us about your setup, Pete.
Okay. You absolutely can start off in astronomy. That's the brilliant thing about astronomy. You don't need to spend anything. You can ramp it up slowly. You can buy a pair of binoculars. You can move on to a small telescope. You can keep going bigger and bigger and bigger, as much as you can afford, whatever you like. But to make it easier on yourself, because of the Lancashire climate that we all live under, it's good sometimes to be able to just go outside when it is clear and start observing quickly. And so if you have a telescope, it's very handy to have some sort of building to put it in. That's called an observatory, and it could be a shed, for example.
Okay.
So you can create a runoff, what they call a roll-off roof observatory, which is effectively a shed with a frame on it that allows you to push the roof off, and you're ready to go.
So instead of having to go and get the we've got a clear bit, so let's go and get the telescope, let's drag it all into the garden, let's set it all up, let's level it, oh, it's gone cloudy, let's take it all back in, you can very quickly remove the roof. And this is your setup then?
That's right, yes. Yeah. Yeah, so it's at the bottom of the garden.
I love the fact you sound like it's a shed. I've seen photos of it, it's gorgeous. It's lit up like something from NASA.
Well, thank you very much. You need different kinds of lighting in a building, in an observatory, because you need red lights, dim red lights, so that if you are in there, your eyes aren't affected, your night vision isn't affected so much.
Now, that's interesting. I would have thought any light would do, but the red lights are better for you.
Red light is better, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So yours is all lit up nice and red, I saw from the photos. And what have you got in there? Tell us about your kit.
Okay, it's an 8-inch Newtonian telescope on an equatorial go-to mount.
Now, what's a go-to mount?
So a go-to mount is a mount that you put your telescope on that allows you to, once it's lined up properly, you can tell it to go to an object. Oh. So that's why it's called a go-to. So you can say, go to Jupiter, or go to Mars, or go to whatever.
Whatever you fancy looking at, instead of actually having to work out where it is and start swinging around and pointing. That sounds like a really useful thing. Is that a bit of a treat? Is it expensive, that kind of thing?
They start off, you're looking at around £300. And they go up from there. You can pay whatever you want from there.
Well, that doesn't sound so bad, because I presume you could get that as like an add-on once you've got a tele... You know, you could do this piecemeal, if you like.
You can do, yeah, you can do. If you say you could get like an 8-inch, say, Newtonian like mine, you could have that running on a non-go-to mount, just an equatorial mount that's manual, and you can use it, you can use your... Just push it to wherever you need it to go to. And then you can add the mount later, the go-to mount later, absolutely.
So it strikes me, if there's an astronomer in your life, and what with Christmas coming down the tracks at us, there's one or two nice things that you can buy as gift ideas for people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, starting from 10, 20 quid to 20 grand or whatever you want, yeah.
I'm liking 10, 20 quid, Pete. I'll be honest, rather than 20 grand. Listen, grab your tablet or your laptop, get to your computer, grab your mobile phone, and dial up blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And when you get there, at the top, underneath where it says Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, click on Gallery. Because after the next song, Pete's going to take us through the first couple of images that we've got to show you tonight. So do play along, have a look. There are some incredible things to be seen, and we'll be doing that right after this one. Barry White on BBC Radio Lancashire. You're the first, the last, my everything.
Across England, on BBC Local Radio.
3 weeks to polling day. It's time for the people who want the keys to number 10 to face the voters.
Welcome to Question Time.
I'm Adrian Goldberg. This Friday, we're bringing together BBC Local Radio across England for a Question Time Leaders special, followed by your calls, your question and your reaction.
We should not have people starving in this country.
Giving up on voting.
Our system of governing is so low now.
I think this election was definitely needed.
Join me this Friday.
Have your say.
From 7.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is, it's Your Lancashire on BBC Radio Lancashire, and it is time now to grab your tablet or laptop or device for looking on the web, because we're going to show you something incredible. Over the next couple of the next 20, 30 minutes, we're going to be discussing some of the photos taken by members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society that are on their website. So, go to the website, blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And click on gallery. And by the way, this will work even if you're listening not live. If you're listening on the BBC Sounds app in days to come, because you can listen again for 30 days, the Society are going to leave the images up. So if you're listening to this after the broadcast, you can still do this. You'll still be able... In fact, I might do it myself when I go home. I really might, because these photos are incredible. I've had a preview and Pete Franklin is with me. So it's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery and start working your way down the page, and we see the first image we come to, Peter, looks like a giant ball of ready orange Artex. It looks like an Artex ceiling to me, with a load of trees growing out of it. I'm guessing it's not an Artex ceiling.
Believe it or not, that is actually the sun, or a part of it. Yeah. So we're looking at the upper layer of the sun here. And we're looking at the edge-on part that we can see. We've got a very large, what they call a prominence there.
Which looks for all the world, if I were to describe it, like, almost like a forest of trees to look at, kind of coming out of the top of the curve, which is the sun, but they're a fair size.
They are. They're actually, this one in the picture is a good 1.5 or 2 times larger than the sun. Than the Earth, rather. Yeah. So the way to imagine this kind of object of prominence is that they're almost like a tornado. If you think of a tornado on Earth, the way that whirls around, over time, if you take several images of these, put them together as a movie, that's what these look like. They move slowly as a whirlwind, if you like.
And what are they? I mentioned they're like trees, but they're obviously not a solid phenomena like that.
No, it's hot plasma coming off the sun, and they're actually being jettisoned out by twists and bends in the magnetic field of the sun. As the sun rotates, the magnetic fields are constantly being twisted, and eventually this energy makes these prominences erupt out of the surface.
Let's bring in Bob Rutter, a member of the Society, who took this photo, Bob. And the first thing that astonishes me is, I would have thought pointing a telescope at the sun would be that dangerous. We surely said, don't do that, please don't do this at home.
Absolutely. Yeah. The sun is extremely dangerous. You can soon blind yourself. You should never look at the sun, even through binoculars, let alone a telescope. If you want to see the sun safely, project it onto a card. Mm. This picture of the sun that we're looking at was taken using a very specialised telescope, which has a particular kind of filter inside it that strips out virtually all of the incoming light and heat from the sun, only transmitting about one part in a million out of the other end, and only in one wavelength of hydrogen.
And so that makes it... You can deal with that safely.
In the red part of the spectrum, which is why the colour looks red.
Okay,
and
so
this is... The picture is easy to look at, it's safe to look at, and you can photograph it and watch it safely, but it's the only way with a telescope to look at the sun safely.
And you mentioned earlier when we were chatting that those telescopes are great, but you can only use them for looking at the sun. They're so specialist that they don't work as a regular telescope.
That's correct. They have a special filter inside them which you can't take out, so the scope will only work on the sun. If you point it even a tiny bit off the sun in the sky, all you see is blackness, because nothing can get through it except a tiny bit of the sun's light and heat.
Well, it's a cracking image, Bob, and I mean, that's your own personal telescope, and they can be quite pricey, but the Society has a solar telescope of its own, and that's where this next image comes from.
It does, that's right. This image is taken with our Society solar telescope. As you can see, it gives a much wider field of view, so it's not as big a telescope as Bob has there. So we actually get the whole sun, which is a great thing to see in itself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're not in front of your computer, it is an orange ball that we're looking at, which, again, for all the world, looks like it's got cracks in it almost. It looks almost textured. And the things, the prominences that we spoke about earlier on, we can now see they're not just in one part. They're erupting from four or five or six different places around the edge of the sun. So the prominences are fairly common things, aren't they, Pete?
They are. The sun has a 11-year cycle that it goes through, where it ebbs and flows in terms of how much activity there is. So at the moment we're in a bit of a low spot at the moment. But this was taken a few years ago, and you can see there are plenty of prominences on there.
Absolutely fascinating that you can take photographs of the sun. That's incredible. Again, as Bob mentioned, you know, do not look at the sun with any sort of optical device. Solar telescopes are very, very specialist. The only safe way to look at the sun, if you ask me, if you don't have the right kit, is don't do it at all. But these photos are great. Just to let you catch up, we'll take a song. Blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery, and we'll continue to work our way through the images after this one from the Bangles. Funnily enough, Eternal Flame. I know the sun's not eternal, but it's as near as now, it. It's your Lancashire.
Close your eyes, give me your hand, darling. Do you feel my heart beating? Do you understand? I believe.
The Bangles, Eternal Flame on BBC Radio Lancashire, where we are at Stanley Park at Blackpool Cricket Club, which is the home of Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And this section, we're trying something a little bit interactive with you. Get yourself along to, and this works as well if you're listening after the show on the BBC Sounds player. These photographs will be left up so you can play along. Get yourself to the blackpoolastronomy.org.uk website and click on gallery, and you can look at the same images that we're looking. We're in the company of Pete Franklin, who's taking us through the images. We've looked at a couple of images of the sun, and now we're moving on to the moon. And what I can say is an absolutely gorgeous image of a great big full moon hanging literally inches away over the top of the beach huts at St. Anne's. That's an incredible image, Pete, isn't it?
It's a spectacular image, yeah.
Absolutely. It looks like the moon is going to crush the beach huts.
It's on its way. It's actually going the other way, to be fair.
Well, that's a plus. Oh, relief. I was just about to run
away from them.
God, I was about to run out into the streets and warn people. And the photographer, Stephen Cheely, who took this incredible image, is with me. Now, Stephen, we're going to talk to you later on about photographing things like this and getting out into the where it's nice and dark, yeah, so you don't have light pollution. But tell me how you went about creating this image. That anybody would be proud to have that on the wall. It's incredible.
Yeah, I was really, really pleased to get the image after a lot of planning, because if you've ever seen a full moon rising, it's a really, really spectacular sight. And my idea was that I knew the full moon was going to rise, and I wanted to try and get it above something interesting. Yeah. And I thought I could get it rising above the beach huts that, face onto St. Anne's Beach. And I used a few apps. You can use these apps on your phone nowadays to get the angles right for where the moon's going to come up and that sort of thing, and what time. And I did that. I went down to the beach. I waited patiently. Like, you need a bit of patience for this sort of thing. I got into the position where I thought I needed to be, roughly. I wasn't sure if I was going to see it, because you never know. Sometimes there could be cloud down there that could block it. And luckily enough, I saw this big orange thing coming up, and I thought, yes, I've got it.
And it's a remarkable image, it really is. We all know the beach house, they're amazing little buildings. And to see the moon looking twice as big as one of the beach huts is incredible. So when the moon rises, when it comes up, I would have thought it moves fairly quickly.
It does, and certainly when you're using a telescope, and I was using a telescope for this particular shot, and when you look through the telescope, you can actually see the moon rising, because you're zooming right in on it, and it does move very quickly. And another thing about the photo as well is you'll notice how big the moon is in relation to the beach huts. Now, that's all down to perspective. The further away I get from the beach huts, the smaller they get, but no matter how far away I go, the moon is always going to be the same size. So it's a case of using the perspective to make the moon look absolutely huge.
So there's a lot of like natural trickery going on here, using perspective, using angles. And also the moon isn't round. Just explain why it looks a little bit squashed almost.
Yeah, well, as I mentioned before, whenever you see or you're trying to see a moonrise, sometimes you can get scuppered by very low cloud that you can't see. But also, you're looking through a lot of atmosphere. You're looking through, you're looking onto the horizon. So the atmosphere you're looking through is very, very dense, and that gives the effect of the moon looking very kind of orange, and kind of squashed in appearance. And that can change sometimes, depending on. There could be smoke in the atmosphere, there could be dust. You never know, really. Every moonrise is different, I suppose.
So until you capture that image, you don't know exactly what you're going to get. You can have a kind of idea, but the end result is pure luck to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, this is a very orange-looking moon. Sometimes it can be yellow, maybe not even yellow sometimes. It really depends on the conditions in the atmosphere. But they're always spectacular, that's one thing.
Certainly, it sounds like it's worth having a look at that. It is a beautiful, I can imagine that frame, and I can imagine it hanging on any sitting room wall. That is an incredible image. More to come. Please do log on to the website. I want you to join in with this. We'll give you another chance to log on, blackpoolastronomy.org. coldplay.co.uk and click on Gallery while we hear this one from Coldplay. Another very appropriate song for us tonight. Coldplay, A Sky Full of Stars on BBC Radio Lancashire.
Gary Scott on BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is. I'm sorry, we're chatting away there. It's Your Lancashire on BBC Radio Lancashire. The reason we're chatting so excitedly is I've seen the next image. In fact, we've just been discussing it while we're listening to Coldplay there. Please log on to blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on Gallery and come down to the Moon section. And that works whether you're listening live tonight or whether you're listening on the BBC Sounds app. You'll get past the sun, a couple of beautiful photos of the sun, and then we go down to the moon. We've got this beautiful moon hanging over the beach at St. Anne's. And now we move on to an incredible image, a close-up of the moon. And when you look up at the moon just with the naked eye, if you get a good clear night and a full moon, you can see some craters and some, you know, the sense that there's markings on the moon. But when you look at it as we are looking now, another one of Bob's photos here, Bob, step in and tell me about these craters, because when you look at the moon in close-up, it's clear that it's been absolutely bombarded over time with all sorts of things, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Its surface is ancient. It has no weather. So things that happened to the moon billions of years ago are still there for us to see. Things have hit the Earth at the same time, but our weather has more or less destroyed them. There's hardly anything to see. There's only a few craters visible anywhere on the Earth, but the moon is covered in them, all shapes and sizes and all different ages. Anyone looking at this picture just now can see that some of the craters have got other craters on top of them, yeah. Generally smaller ones.
Where a bigger crater, something big has landed, and then a smaller thing has popped in.
It may have hit it only a short time afterwards, or it may have hit it 10 million years afterwards, or 100 million years later. You can't always tell how old they are, yeah. But if craters are very sharp-edged and fresh-looking, they tend to be a bit newer, because they do get a bit eroded. Yeah. Over the years.
Not to the same, obviously, measure that they would on Earth. And the interesting thing, if you're looking at this photograph, it's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery. It's the fourth one down when you click on gallery, the square photo of the moon. Is there are three craters that almost look like rings that have been left by a coffee cup on a wooden table. But you blew my mind when you told me how wide they are. How far are they across, those craters, Bob, roughly?
Yeah, each of them is probably about 50 miles across.
Wow.
They're quite large. They're called Theophilus, Cyrillus and Catharina from left to right.
Yeah.
And there's a little crater above them, a bit smaller one on the flat plain called Beaumont. And there's a ridge extends from the left crater round to it, like a swelling on the surface.
Could that have been caused by the impact, by material being shoved up, perhaps?
Probably, but some of it's lava as well, right. Because you're on the edge of a lava plain there.
Okay.
The flat areas tend to be lava plains, which are dotted with very tiny craters, probably much newer than the large craters elsewhere.
It's incredible. Let's move on, Pete, if we can, to our next photo, blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery. We're now on the fifth one down, which is, again, the moon from a little further out this time. And, again, the sense of damage. I mean, there are countless... pockmarks, dents, craters, debris, damage. I mean, there's thousands there, Bob.
Yeah, that's another one that I took. It's actually taken with the same telescope as the previous picture, but it's taken with a 20-megapixel camera.
Wow.
So that image is actually a very big image, and if you right-click on it and view the entire image, it then looks like that.
Now, the detail on that when you blow it up, and if you're doing that at home, right click, view image, or click on it if you're at home, click on it. That is, and you can see how the craters, the walls kind of come up. This must be like the lunar soil, I guess, the debris.
Most of them are impact. There's a few volcanic craters on the moon, but most of them are caused by impacts of objects, some of them quite big. Hitting it to make some of these. You're talking about things miles across. The large crater at the top of the picture, the oval one there, with a chain of smaller ones across it, is called Clavius, and that crater's 146 miles across.
146 miles across.
Gives you a bit of scale to it.
And who names these craters, Bob? Because you've mentioned quite a few names there. What's the convention?
They've been named over lots of years, and as people have seen smaller and smaller ones. They're all named by the International Astronomical Union, and they're named usually after famous people. There's, of course, one on the moon now called Moore, after Patrick Moore. But they're named after famous astronomers, scientists, physicists.
Yeah. And I suppose the great thing about astronomy is that anybody could make the next discovery.
Yes, you can. And amateurs do sometimes, as amateurs have discovered exploding stars, both in our galaxy and elsewhere. They've discovered comets. There's quite a lot of comets have been discovered by amateurs.
So it is possible for amateur astronomers to write their name in history. It's incredible. And I love the thing I love about these photos of yours, Bob. You mentioned taken from your back garden in Bispham.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, taken with a big telescope, but you can get very good images of the moon with a telescope a lot smaller than mine. Pete's taken very good images with his scope, which is a lot smaller than my one.
It just goes to show, doesn't it, that whatever your level, you can get some great images, and it's a really worthwhile, rewarding hobby. More images to come. blackpoolastronomy.org.uk, whether you're live or whether you're on the BBC Sounds app, you can play along. More images after this one. Again, another appropriate song from James Arthur and Anne-Marie. It's Rewrite the Stars on BBC Radio Lancashire.
You know I want you. It's not a secret I try to hide. You know you want me. So don't keep sagging our hands tight. You claim it's not in the cards, and fate is pulling you miles away and out of a reach from me. But you're here in my heart, so who can stop me if I decide it's on my destiny? What if we rewrite the stars? Say you were made to be mine. Nothing could keep us apart. You'd be the one I was meant to find. It's up to you, and it's up to me. No one can say what we get to be. So why don't we rewrite the stars? Maybe the
think it's easy. You think I don't want to run to you, yeah. But there are mountains, and there are doors that we can walk through. I know you're wondering why, because we're able to be just you and me within these walls. But when we go outside, you're gonna wake up and see that it was hopeless. One can rewrite the stars. How can you say you'll be mine? Everything keeps us apart, and I'm not the one you were meant to find. It's not up to you, it's not up to me. When everyone tells us what we can be, and how can we rewrite the stars? Say that the world. A secret I try to hide, but I can't have you. We're bound to break and my hands are tied.
BBC Radio Lancashire Sport.
With the international break behind us, we have all nine teams in action on Match Day Live, including full commentary of Preston's trip to Derby County, where North End will be looking for their fourth straight win to keep the pressure on the top of the Championship.
Here comes Gallagher from the spot. Smash! You do not stop them!
Match Day Live.
Nine games, three commentaries, one Match Day Live this Saturday.
BBC Radio Lancashire. Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is. It's your Lancashire, where we are at Blackpool Cricket Club as guests of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And we're having a bit of a show and tell. We're looking at images on the website. Grab your phone, tablet or laptop or whatever you use to access the internet and go to blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. And then at the top, click on gallery. That's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery. And that counts even if you're listening on BBC Sounds. You know, it's live now if you're listening on that Wednesday evening. But if you're listening on catch-up, this will work as well. We've looked at the moon in some detail and Clavius, another image of the Clavius crater, which is just mind-boggling. Take us on, Pete. Let's see what else we've got as we go down the page. And next we've got an image of Jupiter, which is, I think I'm right, rudimentary schoolboy science. It's the biggest planet.
It's the biggest planet in our solar system, yes.
With the big red spot, which is clearly visible in this full image of Jupiter. And how far away is Jupiter? Roughly.
Roughly.
Millions and millions of miles away.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, you can see on this image definite bands around. You can see a lot of detail on that image, including the famous red spots, which I believe is a big thing that always swirls around. And I find it incredible that using some telescope, you can pick things up in such detail. Is it difficult to get that level of detail from something that's patently so far away?
It's not easy. No. Not easy. You can see this in a 6 or 8 inch telescope. No. If you're using a camera with that, then yes, it's easier to get, and you can get better understanding of the colours as well if you're using a camera.
Right.
If you look at it with the eye, naked eye, through a telescope, it takes a while to get colour to the eye. Your brain doesn't see the colour so well.
But the camera captures it faithfully?
The camera captures it perfectly, yeah.
Okay. Moving further down, as we go past Jupiter, we actually go down to another image of Jupiter, but where you can see there's three of its moons there, which are Ganymede, is it Io and Europa?
Io. So they're three of the four Galilean, what are called Galilean moons of Jupiter, because they were discovered by Galileo around 400 years ago. He was the first to document these small little dots going around Jupiter.
Which, again, I find remarkable. Now we've got cameras, we've got, you know, technology. I can understand we can look deep into space and see very, very small things very far away. But if you go back to those times, how would he have discovered a tiny moon floating around an object that we saw far away?
Well, he was looking through a very simple telescope that he made, and it was through a lot of hard work and holding this thing, possibly handheld. He might have had something to rest it on, but certainly nothing like we have now. Just through being able to spot these tiny little specks in the image, next to something which would have been quite bright. Bearing in mind the lenses that he would have had at the time wouldn't have been great, and there'd have been a lot of, it wouldn't have been the sharpest, clearest of images. So he did a fantastic job,
which makes it all the more remarkable, because the lenses wouldn't have been ground like the lenses we have today. The technology itself, the telescope, would have been a more crude version of the ones that you can get now. And for him to figure out that these moons were in existence and were going around the planet, it's just mind blowing.
The thing is, they kept moving. They kept moving, so it was obvious that they were actually going around this planet, which at the time was something you got locked up for if you said things like that.
Of course, because everything revolved around the Earth, didn't it, rather than...
Yes. It was against the doctrine at the time.
Yeah, heresy. Well, look at that. I don't say this show isn't educational. We're getting into heresy now. More for these incredible astronomical photos after this one from Billy Ocean. When the Going Gets Tough on BBC Radio Lancashire. I never thought we'd be talking about hearsay tonight. Wow.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going, 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 going.
Billy Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough on BBC Radio Lancashire, where we are in the company of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, looking at incredible images, and you can play along on the website, blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on gallery and make your way down to the image labelled Flame and Horsehead Nebula, which is an incredible image. And I'm going to go straight to Barry Cridland, the gentleman who took this image. What we've got, for people who aren't looking at a computer, we've got this glorious image of deep space with, across the top right is this beautiful reddy, orangey cloud of colour. And down to the bottom left, we've got another stunning look. Looks like almost like milk in a coffee cup, when you pour milk in a coffee cup, studded with stars. And in the middle, this what looks like a chess piece. It looks like a knight on a chessboard. Just take us through in a slightly more scientific manner, Barry, what we've got here.
Well, what we're looking at here is towards the upper left is a very bright star, and that is Alnitak. And Alnitak is the left hand of the three stars which are the belt of Orion. So there are three stars across the belt, and Alnitak is the left-hand one. And these, this vista is what surrounds Alnitak as we see it.
So if you know where Orion is in the sky, you can look at that and you'll know where to look.
Yeah, but this is taken with a very long exposure. So you can barely see this. Well, you can't see it with the naked eye. You can barely see it with binoculars. The
colours are so vivid. And I asked you earlier on, off air, about whether you'd altered them. But they are genuinely there, aren't they, if you leave the exposure for long enough? You haven't doctored this in any way?
No. Those are the genuine natural colours. And the horse's head that you can see there is a layer of dust which is forming in front of what is actually a cloud of dust lit by stars. And the dust in front, which causes the horse's head, is moving very, very slowly. And over thousands of years, that will just disappear.
So eventually it won't look like the chess piece. It'll just morph into some other shape.
That's right. And then to the left is what they call the Flame Nebula. And the horse's head one is 1,400 light years away. So
well, we'll get into distance, because the news at 9 o'clock is coming up. We'll get into distances. 1,400 light years sounds like an awful long way away. And I think it's miraculous that using telescopes and simple devices, like a telescope is a fairly rudimentary thing, that we can see deep into space and essentially travel in time and go back in time. Get yourself logged on blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. More to come from the Astronomical Society after the news at 9.
From the Ribble Estuary to Morecambe Bay.
Pennine Hills to the Irish Sea.
Good friends.
Good company.
And great music.
This is BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC News at 9, I'm Moira Alderson. Prince Andrew's announced he's stepping back from public duties because of what he's called his ill-judged association with the convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. In a statement, he says the issue has become a major disruption to the royal family's work and that of the charities he supports. The Duke's been facing mounting criticism since an interview he did with the BBC was aired at the weekend. Former Royal Press Secretary Dickie Arbiter says this decision was inevitable.
He went into that interview believing it was crisis management, but created a crisis instead of management, and there was no other direction he could go. Sponsors were falling by the wayside, and the organisations can't cope and can't function without sponsors. So everything was falling about him like dominoes, that he was really left with no alternative but to step back from public duty.
The Lib Dems have published their election manifesto, pledging to recruit an extra 20,000 teachers in England and support the low paid. They say their policy of scrapping Brexit would make an extra £50 billion available for public services. Party leader Jo Swinson says the plan makes economic sense.
There is wide agreement from economists that if we leave the EU, we will be poorer, there will be less money, and therefore if we stay in the EU, there will be billions of pounds more to spend on our public services, on our schools, on helping people to get out of in-work poverty. And so it's important that we set that out. We're also being honest about where we will need to raise taxes to be able to invest.
Elsewhere, the Conservatives have pledged to raise the threshold at which people pay national insurance to £12,500 a year. Analysis of official NHS data in England shows millions of people are missing out on the dental care they need. A survey has revealed more than 2 million adults haven't been to a dentist in the past 2 years because they've been turned away or put off by the cost. Eddie Crouch is vice chair of the British Dental Association.
I think it's absolutely shocking. We are a profession that wants to look after patients, and patients are our main mainstay of business. And, you know, in a civilised country, it's just beyond belief, really.
Jose Mourinho has taken charge of Tottenham players for the first time after being appointed the club's new manager. It's understood the former Chelsea and Man United boss will be paid a basic salary of £8 million a year. Rachel Martin is from the Tottenham Supporters Trust.
I think a lot of the supporters still felt that Pochettino should have been given more time, although there was certainly a movement of fans within the club that wanted Mourinho, and then there were others who touted other names, but a lot of people still wanted Pochettino to be given the opportunity to do it here at White Hart Lane.
Hundreds of students and under-18s have been registered to vote without their knowledge after a council IT blunder. Around 630 students were wrongly registered by Plymouth City Council. It also sent polling cards to 250 children. It says it believes the issue is now resolved. BBC News, it's 3 minutes past nine.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's just after 9 o'clock on Wednesday the 20th of November, and BBC Radio Lancashire is still at Stanley Park. We're still at Blackpool Cricket Club, looking up at the heavens above with the men from the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. Plenty more to come from the society between now and 10 o'clock, including some good tips on how to take photos of incredible things. And we'll catch up with our old friend, who you know as a comedian, but he's also very much into astronomy, Bob Moore, with us between now and 10 o'clock. I'm Gary Scott, and this is Your Lancashire. We'll be right back. Nick Kershaw, Wouldn't It Be Good on BBC Radio Lancashire, where it's Wednesday night. It's your Lancashire and it's Gary with you through till 10 o'clock, after which Alan Bezick takes over and takes on all comers on the phones. Are you brave enough to tackle Bezick? I don't think I am. But if you are, we'll give you the phone number later on. You can talk to him about anything you like after 10 o'clock. In the meantime, we've had a fantastic evening up to now, spending time with members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, looking at some incredible images, and we'll tell you how to access those images again afterwards. They really are worth a few minutes of your time to look at, because you're looking at things so far away, so distant, and actually back in time, as we'll explain in a little while. More to come from the members between now and 10 o'clock. But we're just switching horses for a moment, because yesterday saw International Men's Day marked in fine style on the Fylde Coast, and with me is Debbie Terrace from the Washington Group, one of the masterminds, if you will, behind the event. Debbie, welcome to your Lancashire, and I thought you'd be local when you came in. You're surprised. You've come a long way to be here tonight.
I am actually local, but I've been in my daytime job. I've just been to Leicester for the day, so I've just come back from Leicester after having done the International Men's Day yesterday. But I've promised I'd come up. And of course, I've walked into this room and I've got some amazing, looking at the stars, and it's lovely way to spend a Wednesday evening near Stanley Park. So it's great.
I just love the way that you boys through the door with all your luggage and everything, and your water bottle and your Lord knows what else. So thank you for being here. And let's talk about the event yesterday, because International Women's Day has been quite a feature over the years, but I'm not sure we make the same force or pay the same attention to International Men's Day. So why did you create the event yesterday?
Well, I think because we've always run International Women's Day, and for me in particular, and for the rest of the guys who are involved in the Washington Group and our colleagues, International Men's Day is so important because more men need to talk. And one of the main reasons was because we've all had an impact in terms of how mental health has impacted some of the men in our lives. And unfortunately, we're finding more and more men who are actually taking their own lives because they may not be able to feel that they can talk. So for us, we want to get together a group of organisations to actually be able to support businesses to see how they can actually support their male colleagues, their male staff. So Sue Littlefair, who's my colleague, she took the baton as such as, well, I'll pull everybody together. And we created an amazing event yesterday with some fantastic organisations who came on board. And we actually got over 100 businesses who turned up for the day. What was great about it was we got some funding from the Armed Forces Covenant, because obviously with the Army, especially if you're leaving the Armed Forces, for a lot of men and women, but predominantly yesterday was about men, it's about, well, where do I turn to and who can I get that support? So the support that we've had from the Army has been outstanding, and a very harrowing day. Paul Stewart, the footballer, was our main key speaker. He talked about obviously what he'd gone through with the child abuse, and it just got people starting thinking to say, how can we get more of you men to talk about your feelings and to not have that stigma or the stereotype, and why shouldn't you be able to talk about your feelings?
Let's be absolutely honest, most men are rubbish at talking about our feelings. It's true, and men of a certain age, I mean, I'm 50 now, and people of my generation, we kind of were on the edge of maybe you do talk about things. Younger people are a little bit more open, I think, and it's more of a cultural thing to talk, find your mate and talk to him or whatever. People older than me do tend to clam up because they were from that generation where you just got on with it. So how do you convince stubborn old mules like me to open up?
I'd never call you stubborn, but I think you're absolutely right. And if I can just take a quote from Mike Crowther, who was one of our, who's the CEO of Empowerment, a charity in Blackpool. They were very much a part of working alongside us to create this event. Mike just summed it up really eloquently by saying, actually, it starts within business, it starts from the leadership. So if your CEO, if your manager isn't actually leading on that and opened up and talking about their feelings, it may create a culture where you can't do that. And you're absolutely right. I mean, as you can tell from my accent, I come from the northeast. You know, it's a case of, you know, where men were men and that was it, and nobody talked about their feelings. But I think more and more, I think it should just become the norm. So I think for us, we want a society where actually it's quite normal. As Mike said yesterday, you talk about you've got a cold, or for you men, you talk about your man flu. Getting looks now from all of the guys behind me. It should be as common as that to say, do you know what? I'm having a bit of a bad day. I'm all right, but I'm having a bit of a bad day. I'm going to talk about it. And I think one of the things we need to say is if you say to your mate, how are you? And he says, I'm all right. Just ask him again, really, how are you? Do you want a brew? Should we go for a walk? You know, let's do some sport. Let's look at the stars and have that conversation. And why shouldn't we?
Stay with us, Debbie. We'll talk about the event yesterday and how it went and the plans, I presume, to make it bigger and better next time. After this one from Neil Diamond, this one on BBC Radio Lancashire, is Beautiful Noise. It's Wednesday night. It's your Lancashire until 10.
Unforgettable with Gerald Jackson.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Every week you help me compile a collection of unforgettable musical memories. Your requests provide a list of some lovely gems from down the decades. Some of the last century's big bands, dance bands, singers and songs.
Unforgettable.
You can listen live on Sunday night from 8 or catch up anytime via the BBC Sounds app. Each show's there for a full 30 days. I'm sure you'll agree, memories are made of this.
Sunday night from 8.
BBC Radio Lancashire.
Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is, it's your Lancashire from Blackpool Cricket Club. We'll be back shortly with the members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. But we're just taking a moment to reflect on International Men's Day yesterday. And with me is Debbie Terrace from the Washington Group. And we've talked, Debbie, about how rubbish men are at talking about their feelings and their mental health, but hopefully we're getting better. And I think having some of the guests of the calibre that you had yesterday, who've gone through very difficult things and are able to talk, sporting heroes, people from the fire service, all these kind of people, it makes it all right. Somehow it's like, well, yeah, you don't have to be the tough guy all the time. It is okay to talk.
Definitely, and I think it's because obviously, you know, especially within the sporting world, you know, it's about, am I showing my weakness, you know, and especially when they were in that competitive environment. But I think just being able to actually have these guys who were real, you know, and for Paul Stewart to stand up and tell his story, and it is a story, but it's like, it's a harrowing story. But I think for Paul yesterday, it was just for businesses to take away just something key to say, something needs to change, or, you know, if that guy is at your place and is a bit quiet or isn't quite as an extrovert and it's out of character, just to have that mindfulness actually about what can I do to support, what can we do, and what we have to remember is we can't keep on relying on the NHS for that, because we have long waiting lists. It's a matter of fact, but there are organisations within the community that can actually help. We have people like Blackpool Carer Centre, because a lot of people who have either around mental health do perhaps may need some carers, so how perhaps can we support those, and those carers may be those employees. We're then looking at things like, you know, we've got Renaissance, we've got people like Drugline who can actually help, because obviously there may be issues around alcohol and substance misuse. So it's actually for businesses to have an understanding that we've got some amazing assets in Blackpool. And I think Blackpool, while we're always top of the stats for all the bad things that are happening, I think yesterday was an opportunity for us to actually say, we've got some amazing things that are happening in Blackpool. Blackpool Transport, you know, are leading the way in terms of being like a buddy system, look after your mate. Yeah. So good in terms of what they're actually providing, they're now actually going to Edinburgh trams and actually, you know, providing the service up there to actually share their best practice. So I think yesterday actually showcased how good Blackpool is going to be at, I don't want to use the word tackling mental health because that's the wrong word, but actually about, because we've all got mental health, I think it's actually about saying, how do we support people, how do
well here's the health? Thing you mentioned the stats, you mentioned the statistics. And if you go back 5, 10, 15 years, constantly Blackpool crops up in various league tables of this and tables of statistics. And the media has painted a fairly bleak picture. But when I come to Blackpool myself, when we come to Blackpool as BBC Radio Lancashire to report on things, when we talk to people, we don't find that. We find, yeah, there are some poor areas, just like anywhere else. Yeah. And, yeah, there are some problems, just like anywhere else. But Blackpool's been on the up for such a long time. And when you've got initiatives like the Blackpool Transport one being taken to places like Edinburgh, that we should be singing from the rooftops about that.
We should, and I think it's always easy, isn't it? You know, like bad news, sad news sells, doesn't it? But I think it's about celebrating that. And I think certainly with having the likes of Blackpool Transport, Blackpool Carers, Empowerment, you know, the work we've done yesterday. But I also think that encourages our younger people as well to actually say, it's good to live in this town. You know, there is opportunities for you as well. You know, and we've got the pride of place now, you know, because obviously business and the community have got a big focus on Blackpool, a lot of investment. But we do still need to make sure that we're protecting and supporting the people who are living within our communities, and that is absolutely vital.
So yesterday, massive success, the first event of its kind that you've been involved with. Yeah. Presumably, we're going to do it bigger and better next year.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think what we want to do is to create that on a bigger scale. Yesterday was very much about, let's see how it goes, let's get the feedback. So there's going to be feedback going out to everybody who attended. What can we improve on? But from yesterday, everybody said, yes, it was, some parts of it was sad. I mean, we had the army in who were doing an icebreaker, so we had people with bandages on their heads and everything, which was a brilliant from the guys at Medical Corp over in Preston. But I think it's definitely, this will now be an annual event, just like our International Women's Day Festival.
Well, we'll follow that. We'll try that with you, Debbie, on this programme over the months. And we will talk again in the new year in the run-up to the International Women's Day Festival that you're organising. But for now, that's Debbie Terrace from the Washington Group. Thank you for coming all that way, all the way home, and coming to see us, thinking of us before you actually went home, away for some well-earned rest.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And it's just great to come in and be able to obviously be introduced to the guys from this society. So thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. This one is Pink. Appropriately enough, Walk Me Home on BBC Radio Lancashire. I'll let you drive. There you go.
Thank you.
There's something in the way you roll your eyes. Takes me back to a better time. When I saw everything is good. But now you're the only thing that's good. Trying to stand up on my own two feet. This conversation ain't coming easily. And darling, I know it's getting late. So what do you say we leave this place? Walk me home in the dead of night. There's something in the way I wanna cry that makes me think we'll make it out alive. So come on and show me how we're good. I think that we could do some good. Mm-hmm. Walk me home in the day. Can't be alone with all that's on my mind. Say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there's so much wrong going on. Walk me home in the dead of night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind.
Pink, Walk Me Home on BBC Radio Lancashire, where it's your Lancashire. We're here till 10. Where is here? Well, we're at Stanley Park, and specifically, we're at Blackpool Cricket Club. And this is the venue where the guys from the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, something I've been tripping over all night, meet regularly. And the room that we're in, it's a lovely, well-appointed room, which if I look to my left, there's a little terrace, and you can take a view of the cricket pitch out there. And I could imagine walking onto that terrace with a glass of something nice in summer and watching a cracking game of cricket. There's few better ways, few more English ways than to spend a summer afternoon watching cricket. But it's a venue that does have a bit of an international flavour to it. And with me is Sophie Lomax. She's been working at the club for, did you say about 5 years, Sophie?
Yeah, about 5 or 6 years now.
And the club's a little bit famous for its food. You were telling me about this kind of international dimension to the food.
Yeah, so Andy, our chef, he cooks Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and over the weekend. His curries are absolutely phenomenal. Like, they're so tasty. He does, you know, Thai curries, Malaysian curries, Burmese curries. But then he's also got, like, a wide selection of burgers. You've got...
Yeah, the regular things that you might imagine. But the curry, I like Burmese curry and that. I'm fairly simplistic in that you don't realise there's such a variety of curry. So I guess the punters absolutely gobble these up.
Yeah, they absolutely love it. And the portions are just so good for the money. Really.
So you get good value, proper home-cooked food. I'm liking this. This is good. And it's not just a cricket club. As you'd expect, you do things like the functions and weddings and things like that. But these meeting rooms, and as I said, sat in this one, it's probably 20-odd feet by probably 12 feet. It's perfect for a gathering, a little conference. There's TV screens, audiovisual equipment. So these rooms are available to rent as well.
Yeah, they're available to rent. We use them for all sorts, christenings, weddings, AGM meetings, anything like that. And, you know, people always come back to us because we're quite a good price, and they tend to also order food from us as well.
We do all the catering as well. So what's the best part, though? What's the best thing about working here at Blackpool Cricket Club?
It's fun, you know, like you get to know all your customers, you build up a rapport with them, you know, all the bar staff are lovely. It's a really nice family place to come, just for a nice beer, wine in the summer, like you say.
Well, I noticed when I arrived earlier on to set up just after 6 o'clock, there were a couple of families in downstairs. They're a lovely family with a cute little girl, cute as a button, running around and that. So this is a great family venue. And it's not just for cricket fans.
No, it's not. It's for everyone. Everyone can come, you know. We have football on, we have tennis on when there's like big matches. The rugby as well is quite big. They have like a meeting every few weeks or whatever for the rugby. But yeah, the kids love it. They get to run around on the grass and you get to know them as well. So it's lovely.
It's idyllic. And of course, there's Andy and his famous curries.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he on duty now? Will he be listening or...?
Possibly.
Well, there you go. It's all good news, Andy. That's Sophie Lomax from Blackpool Cricket Club. And we might stop by, Andy, and have one of these favourite curries. If you were recommending one, which would it be?
The Burmese curry is a good one, but he does a beef rendang as well, which is amazing.
There you go, beef rendang. I didn't even know what a rendang was. All the lads now are patting their stomachs and clearly got a bit of a thirst on, a bit of a curry lust on in front of me. Thank you, Sophie. That's Sophie from Blackpool Cricket Club. This one on BBC Radio Lancashire is the Jacksons. Blame It on the Boogie. It's your Lancashire. It's Wednesday night.
Sunshine, yeah, moonlight, good times, boogie. Don't you blame it, sunshine, you just got the moonlight, you just wanna good times.
Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It is, it's your Lancashire. It's Wednesday evening and we're hurtling towards 10 o'clock. There really is no time in 3 hours. It's incredible. Work with members of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. And with me is Stephen Cheatley. Stephen, we spoke to earlier on when we were looking at the gallery of images, which is incredible. You can still go onto that gallery. It's blackpoolastronomy.org.uk and click on gallery and work your way down the images. If you want to listen again to the programme, you'll be able to do it because we have some wonderful descriptions of some of the images. But further down that gallery list are some incredible images taken by Stephen. And this is a bit of a... This is your thing, really, Stephen, getting out there away from light sources and getting some incredible images. That must be difficult to do.
Well, it is, really. And because we're in Blackpool and we all know what the lights are like in Blackpool... especially when the illuminations are on. Yeah. The bright lights of Blackpool, not really the best place to do astronomy, really.
No. I would have thought, while the illuminations are on, it's brilliant for trade, but you can't really see much upstairs, if you will.
No, not really. It does make it does have quite an impact on the sky, especially, I would say, the Pleasure Beach, because the Pleasure Beach is probably one of the worst offenders, because they shine big floodlights onto the roller coaster during the season. And those floodlights just drown everything. It's like daylight if you go around there when the floodlights are on. So that's really, really bad.
So there's no way you're going to see very much in the sky there. So your antidote to this is to take yourself off to wonderful places. So where can we go to if we want to enjoy the night sky, you know, in all its glory, whether we just want to look at it with the naked eye, maybe we want to take some photos, we take some binoculars. What kind of places can we go to?
Well, I tend to go far and wide. I tend to go up to the Lake District, I'll go down to the South, I'll go all over the place. But there are some places in Lancashire, our particular place, Blackpool Astronomy, we go to Pilling. One of our official viewing sites is in Pilling at the Nature Reserve. I think it's on Back Sands Lane. And there's also Beacon Fell. Beacon Fell is quite a nice area to go. Dunsop Bridge, Longridge Fell in Lancashire are very good places where you can go to get away from the lights.
So there's a fair number of sites and it's spread kind of far and wide. So you should be able to find somewhere reasonably close to you where it's worth taking a trip out to, getting the binoculars out of the camera and taking... You know, some great photos, hopefully. How difficult, looking at you, we're looking at one of your compositions now, one of your photos here, which I think is Derwent Water with a sky full of stars. I would imagine that isn't just something that you pointed your camera and went click. Well, what's the process?
Yeah, well, we're looking at my shot of the Milky Way, the galactic plane of the Milky Way, coming down onto Derwent Water in the Lake District near Keswick. Now, a shot like this, you might just be lucky to see it and you might think, oh, to get the camera out. And if you know what settings to use, you might just get it. But in my case, I knew what I could get before I went there. So I planned the shot and I use a long exposure with a very, quite a high ISO on the camera. That's the sensitivity of the sensor. And I took something like a 20-second exposure, something like that. And that was able to reveal all these stars and the Milky Way. And the reflection in the lake as well, looking across Derwent Water.
It's an absolutely stunning image. And the incredible thing, we were talking off air, and you said that you've been interested in astronomy for a long time, but you only recently joined the society, and your knowledge has come on in leaps and bounds.
Yeah, and I think for me, joining Blackpool and District Astronomical Society as was one of the most important things I could have done, really, because I didn't know very much about astronomy before. I knew about photography because I was a photographer before, but I didn't know much about the night sky at all. I knew about the full moon and that, so I'd look at the full moon, that sort of thing. I was always interested, but there's nothing like joining a society where the members go out and have these star parties, that sort of thing, which I used to attend as many as I could. And they point the telescope at something, they say, that's whatever they're looking at. You know, there's Jupiter over there, and that sort of thing. Tell you I would read magazines, and then I'd go out and try to see what I saw in the magazine, and I wouldn't be able to do it. I'd have to ask one of the members, and then when we go out next time, they'd show me, and then that was a great way to look, because you can read a lot of stuff in the magazine, but trying to, you know, when you go out there and you try to look for what you saw, it's not the same as having somebody with you, somebody who's not knowledgeable.
Having that knowledge, and everyone I've met tonight, they've been a cracking bunch of lads, and it does strike me as that kind of society where everybody kind of helps each other and you'll chip knowledge in, and there's no better way to learn, is there, Stephen?
No, certainly not. And I would encourage anybody listening, if you want to get into stargazing, you want to learn, join your local society. And there's nothing like getting out and looking at the sky yourself. And if you want to know where something is, there'll be someone there, I'm sure, who'll know where it is, and they'll be able to point it out. And they'll give you some tips on how to look at things, because sometimes you have to learn to look at something. It's not so easy to see some of these things, you know. You have to kind of avert your vision a little bit, look away slightly, and your eyes, you can then see something that's faint if you slightly look away from it.
It's a fascinating subject, it is, Stephen. It's a great tip there to join your local society. And if you're local to Blackpool, we'll talk about how you join this particular society after this one on BBC Radio Lancashire. It's the new one from Simply Red. It's Sweet Child.
unmissable podcast.
Morning, goats.
This week, Sharon's making friends.
Oh, gee whiz, there's loads of them.
Barnes is on the Lancaster Canal.
It's one of the finest aqueducts in England.
Gina's in an art hotel.
This is obviously a first for Blackpool.
And Graham's taken to the streets.
Are we in Chatsworth now?
The Unmissable Podcast.
It's available now from BBC Sounds or your podcast provider. There's also Strictly's Mike and mucky little Helen Skelton.
My mum thought if we weren't muddy and filthy, then we hadn't had a good day.
So that's where she gets it from.
Crikey.
BBC Radio Lancashire. Your Lancashire.
With Gary Scott.
On BBC Radio Lancashire.
It's your Lancashire Live from Blackpool Cricket Club, where we've been spending the evening in the company of the Blackpool and District Astronomical Society, and we've literally seen some sights you can too if you go to blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Just click on that gallery. And if you're listening on BBC Sounds, because you've 30 days to listen after we do a live broadcast, you'll still be able to do it. Listen to the programme. Go on that gallery on the blackpoolastronomy.org.uk website, and you'll hear some wonderful explanations of some of the photos on there. They'll blow your mind. That's all I can tell you. They'll blow your mind. Now, our next guest is a bit of a friend of BBC Radio Lancashire. A bit of a friend. He's a good friend. A good old friend of BBC Radio Lancashire. And you'll know him as a comedian and a comedy historian, appearing on John Gilmore's programme for Bob's Blackpool Comedy, as he did this very afternoon. But what a lot of you might not realise is that Bob Moore is also a very keen amateur astronomer, and he's a member of the society here, and he's popped along tonight to have a word, and you kind of helped set this up, Bob, didn't you, as well?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
A lot of people will know you for comedy, but not realise that you are into the heavens.
Well, it was a fascinating thing. What got me into it years ago, I mean, I was driving through Spain. I went through the Pyrenees and I had to stop on really high up it was. And I got out of the car, I thought, wow. And you looked at the sky and it was pitch black, but it's like looking at it through a brightly lit lace curtain. It was phenomenal. Like some of the photos I've seen tonight. A lot of these pictures and images tonight, really, although we're an amateur society, a lot of these are professional standard. You look at some of these, absolutely. But when I saw this like lace curtain, I thought, wow, that's fantastic. So I've got to get a binoculars or a scope or something. So it really took off from there, really. I think coming in with these guys here, and I picked up quite a lot of tips, and I mean, Stephen Chitley had been talked to. He was one who pointed me into the direction of Saturn many years ago when I first joined this. And I'd never seen Saturn before. I thought, it does exist. You see Saturn with the rings around it, you know. Yeah. Although in my scope, it's like a big beginner scope. It's a tiny little speck, but you can see the rings around it. So, yes, yeah, so my interest got involved from then. We're all interested in sci-fi. We all love sci-fi programs, this sort of thing. And sci-fi is reflected in astronomy as well, and vice versa, you know.
It would be natural that, I think, mentioned earlier on, that you can imagine people into astronomy having an interest in science fiction. But it's just amazing. You mentioned Saturn. And you say you're a small scope and it's like this little blob. When you consider how far away Saturn is, it's incredible that you can stand in your garden and you can look at something so many million miles away. It blows my mind.
It's fantastic. And mine's actually basically, it was classed as a starter scope, really. But it's a 5-inch mirror, but you can still see a lot of stuff with that scope. So some of the scopes these guys have got, it's fantastic. The images you can pick up, you know, the clarity. Mm-hmm. And of course, I met years ago for Patrick Moore at his 80th birthday show at the Grand Theatre in Blackpool. He sat in a big chair, showed all these clips. And I had a great chance to meet him afterwards, and because I've been involved in comedy and Morecambe Wise, and he appeared on the Morecambe Wise show with Eric and Ernie years ago, and what a lovely guy he was to meet. They're all queuing to get the book signed, and I went up to her and I said, I just want to say, just from a recall you doing the Morecambe Wise show when you play the xylophone and the piano. And he's a brilliant musician as well, not just a personality for the astronomy, but a really nice guy. But he was, as you saw him, you know, the trousers up to his chest and the AL spiking stuck up, you know, and he just didn't care about his appearance, but he was so well loved and so knowledgeable about astronomy. There's nothing he didn't know.
Literally, a brilliant man and a great British eccentric. I mean, you said her all over and everything else, and didn't really care what suit he put on, he'd just turn up. But the man's, for all of his knowledge and for all of his expertise and all of his academic brilliance, he had that fantastic sense of humour, and he would appear on things like Morecambe and Wise, and he would send himself up.
He did. He didn't mind Eric and Ernie taking the mickey out of him either, and they did sort of like make a joke out of him. But he went with it, and he was great with it. It was a great sport with that, you know. But and also astronomy has also affected people like confectionery companies, because there's so many sweets and chocolate bars named after astronomical items. Like, you know,
Mars bar, Milky Way. Yeah. Well, as long as you mention them all, Galaxy,
all these, yes. Other brands are available, as they say, you know what I mean? So it's spread into that area as well, you see. I mean, you know, so it's stargazing. But the TV...
I'm just thinking of Zoom lollies shaped like rockets and all that kind of...
The ice lolly, yeah. But programmes like stargazing, that increases a lot of interest at the BBC programme. Was it last year? It was on the past few years. And that does increase a lot, gets a lot of interest from complete beginners, because they think, how do I get into it? You know, and I speak to Terry Devon, he said, just get some binoculars. And I got some. I never looked at the stars or the sky with ordinary binoculars. So you don't need any expense, like we've been talking about tonight. The things you see on the moon with basic binoculars is phenomenal. Why? The things I can see with that, you know, it's fantastic.
The great thing about this is if you've got a passing interest, as you say, you can go out, and if it's a clear night, you can use your eyes and you can see some interesting things. For the sake of a few pounds on a pair of binoculars, you can see a whole lot more. And then you can get more. If you get into it, you can add to it, get a telescope, get a bigger telescope, end up like Pete with your own observatory all lit up in red. I mean, there's no end to what you can do. But it really is a bargain hobby to begin. For the want of a few pounds, you can fascinate yourself.
It's as expensive as you want it to be, really. Start as a beginner by a small scope. But when the stargazing programme came on, and I went around all the shops and that, and they sold out because the programme had that effect. And I couldn't get a scope anywhere. And eventually, when the programme sort of like faded away again, the scopes went back in the shop. So it shows that the effect that people are interested in, enough to buy scopes, the budget scopes, you know what I mean? When I started with a small budget scope, went on to a bigger one, a bigger one, a bigger one, you know. And so I've now got one I can handle quite easily on locations as it were, to take it out, you know. But also, there's lots of famous people in it, apart from Patrick Moore, the great comedian Will Hay, from the black and white films years ago, also was a very, very keen and respected astronomer.
And also, from Lancaster as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. But from what I've read about him, and he discovered the white spot on Saturn, in what, 1930s, was it? Something like that, you know. 33, was it? Yeah. So, and he had his own great big observatory in his back garden. I mean, he could afford to do it anyway in those days, a big star. But he got all this equipment rigged up, and he became very, very famous as an astronomer. You know, was he part of the fellowship or something? But so knowledgeable, you know what I mean? So people think, oh, he's just a comedian. But no, he's a very clever guy, you know.
That's the great thing as well, as we mentioned earlier on, any amateur astronomer is capable of making a discovery and actually becoming part of history. Stay with us. Bob will bring Ray in as well in a minute after this one from ABC. This one on BBC Radio Lancashire is Poison Arrow.
If I was
ABC on BBC Radio Lancashire, just rearranging the chairs for our last little slot here. With we've still got Bob Moore, our comedy historian, and yes, you're still on. Yeah, you're still on. Let's not get him off. And also Ray Smith, the chair of Blackpool and District Astronomical. Yeah, you know, I knew Ray that I would say that at one point. What a shame! It's the last link in the programme. I do it then. If I could have just held it together one more time, it would have been grand. The Blackpool and District Astronomical Society. We've had a fantastic night, and there will be people listening to this. Stephen earlier on said the best thing you can do is join your local society. But if there are people in Blackpool wondering how to do that, you always welcome members, I'm guessing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we've been welcoming people who have an interest in astronomy to Badass for, say, over 30 years. The society's been in existence. If you live outside Blackpool, which obviously a lot of your listeners will do in the Lancashire area, there are astronomical societies dotted around. PADAS exists in Preston, the Preston District Astronomical Society. Yeah. LAMAS, Lancaster and Morecambe Astronomical Society, just going north. There are quite a few. So if you go onto your favourite web browser, whichever one it happens to be, and just have a search for astronomical societies, you will find lots of them.
There should be one near you.
Well, there almost certainly will be, depending on where you live. If you live somewhere fairly rural, then you might have to travel a bit of a distance. Yeah. But normally, yeah, there will be. And once you find one, we tend to be fairly friendly towards each other. We're not, you know, daggers drawn at each other. Yeah. If you find one website, you'll almost certainly find links to other websites. So if you can't find your own local one as a first site, you'll almost certainly be able to go to it from that, you know. And
so it's a friendly community between the clubs and so on. But just bring Bob back in. We've got a minute left on the programme. Bob, what's the most amazing thing you've ever seen looking through your telescope?
Oh, well, there's a few things. Apart from all the constellations like Pleiades and all these and Cassiopeia, you know, and finding Jupiter, and then finding those little, what I would call, tie tracks across the surface of Jupiter. And finding Saturn and all these sort of things. But so you can spot all these sort of things. But what I found at the end of it, whenever I've been at stargazing at nights at Pillin, when it's all finished, you come back, you feel really relaxed. It's a very, very relaxing pastime. There's no stress involved, and we all help each other out in this sort of thing, any problems with the gear and this sort of thing. And
that's what it seems like. Yeah. We're heading for the 10 o'clock news. I could talk literally all night. It's been a fantastic night. Do log on to the website, blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. blackpoolastronomy.org.uk. Click on that gallery, have a look at those photos. Taking us to the news, it's Prince.
Turn. sky. I know Mars could not be too far behind. Cause baby, this kind of beauty, it's got no reason to ever be shy. Cause honey, this kind of beauty, the kind that comes from inside.
Could you be?
Ribble Estuary to Morecambe Bay.
Pennine Hills to the Irish Sea.
Good friends.
Good company.
And great music.
This is BBC Radio Lancashire.
BBC News at 10. I'm Moira Alderson. The Duke of York.